with a change of pace that we've all experienced in 2020, have you gained 2020 vision, a deeper knowledge of yourself and understanding? St. Faustina, whose feast day it is today, she was a Polish nun. She talks about how there's joy that comes from knowing yourself. And I think that that's fascinating in light of this year. Have you become a better person this year? This is a good question that I think a lot of people are asking themselves. People have had more time to take up hobbies, sit down, reflect, do things they've not done in years, or something they've never done before. According to a survey conducted by OnePoll, 2/3 of Americans believe that they've become a better person this year. 2 out of 3 people actually believe they've become better. And looking at some of the responses, 55%, so more than half of those polled, were actually embarrassed by some of the things that they held as valuable prior to the quarantine. I think that's a fascinating fact. More than half of people are saying that they're embarrassed by the things that they held in high esteem prior to the quarantine. And then another staggering 70%, 7 out of 10, say that they've learned something about themselves. What has it been for you? I would love to hear from you. How have you changed during this quarantine? It's interesting because over the last few months, I've heard from so many of you who have made comments about the transitions you've been through in your own life. People who are talking about how they've emphasized prayer. They've started praying the rosary as a family. They've started reading for the first time in years. Maybe you've started exercising, going on walks. What is it for you? I'd love to hear from you. Head over to my Instagram story. You can find me at Timory on Instagram. And I posted on my story a question. How have you changed during quarantine? How has that change entered into your own life? Because self-awareness really is a game changer. This is what I was talking about earlier on. It's our happy hour every Monday. And the theme of today has been freedom. Knowledge of what is out there in society, but also knowledge of self. St. Faustina, whose feast day it is, she said this, "Oh, joy that flows from the knowledge of oneself." Here's the context of when she says that. She's talking about God, our Lord Jesus Christ, as this incredible teacher, the best teacher. And she talks about how she becomes frightened when she looks at her own misery. But then she goes on to say, "At the same time, I am reassured by your unfathomable mercy, which exceeds my misery." I love that statement. It's so true. If we start to look at our own misery, if we start to just turn in on ourselves, we can become really afraid by what we see. The ugliness of our actions, our bad habits. But if we are able to look at ourselves and then look at Christ, it's a game changer. Because God's mercy truly does exceed all misery that we have. Even the love he has for us and having created us, he didn't have to create us. We talked about this earlier during the show. This is so important for understanding our own happiness. That God chose to create us and he chose to make us free human beings, not human beings that are forced to follow his will for us and his commandments. We don't have to go to heaven. He leaves that as a total option to us. We can either conform to him in his image, in his way, pick up our cross and follow him, or we can choose to turn away from it. But when we have a disposition, as St. Faustina discusses, in this turning towards Christ, toward understanding his mercy rather than just our own misery, the soul is clothed in the power of God, and that brings joy. Because truth doesn't change God doesn't change. His love and mercy is always there. But are we willing to look at it? This is where St. Faustina says, without you, that's God, without you, all my efforts are in vain. She goes on to say, oh Jesus, do not hide from me, for I cannot live without you. Listen to the cry of my soul. This is a saint of just the last 100 years. Someone who saw incredible trial in her own life, yet was so loved by God to receive these revelations of Christ, divine mercy. Her writings are phenomenal. And as we piece through them, we come to understand the mystery of the saints. The mystery that the saints understood so clearly, just like the early church. This is why there was so much rigor within the early church. They understood that we were called to be conformed to Christ. And if we didn't conform to Christ, there is no joy. Joy is a gift from God, and it comes with this sense of knowledge of self, because as we turn in and look at our own brokenness, we turn toward God and we see his mercy and his transformation and his grace that flows over our bodies. And this allows us to have that virtue of joy because we're grounded in our Lord Jesus Christ. This virtue of joy is not an emotion that changes. That's why I call this our happy hour. But I call it our happy hour because people don't understand what joy is. We want more than just to be happy, to be pleased by that bowl of ice cream. We want to be more than satiated by the fact that we picked up our phones when our fingers were itching to just pick up that phone and follow that addictive habit. We want to come to know ourselves and love ourselves the way Christ loves us. What was the commandment given in today's gospel reading to the scholar, the person who studied the law? The commandment was given of love of God and love of neighbor. Love the Lord your God. Do you truly love God enough to see that he created us, to accept the truth about the human person, the human body? Are we trying to define our own reality? This is coming full circle from the beginning of the hours. We're talking about this crisis of modernity in the church, in the culture. That idea that my truth is my truth and I define what's real. I define what will make me happy. Well, an addict thinks the same thing. People think that they can only make it through their day if they have 3 to 5 cups of coffee. Some people believe the only way they can function if they're on this particular medication. And I'm not saying medicine is bad or coffee is bad, but sometimes we're not willing to acknowledge that God created the perfect creation. And if we were only to choose the freedom he offers us in truth and acknowledging the perfection of his creation and conforming ourselves to that perfection, we would be a whole lot happier because we would be living in that state of joy, that virtue that God has extended to each and every single one of us. This is life-changing. This is what the saints stood for. This is what they learned to live by. And as we read one saint after another, especially from the last 100 years, what was one of their greatest devotions? It was to the Eucharist, because they understand that we don't have a right to receive the Eucharist. You know, it's fascinating to see, don't get me wrong, I'm heartbroken by the separation of the sacraments from us. I'm heartbroken by the inability to access funerals in the same way we had for those who are dying, who have died, the inability to access at times anointing of the sick and so forth. But what's fascinating to me is how people get so worked over their right to the Eucharist. No, the Eucharist is a gift. You don't have to go to Mass. You get to go to Mass. You have the gift of receiving our Lord Jesus Christ, body, blood, soul, and divinity in the Eucharist. It's a gift. and that requires conformity. And this is why the saints, especially of the last 100 years, we've seen this incredible devotion to our Lord in the Eucharist. I would say almost in a way as never known before, especially as we have this increased use of adoration of the Blessed Sacrament. Because the Eucharist is meant to change us. We are supposed to be conformed to the body of Christ. Not use God to get ahead. To not use God or use religion as a means to manipulate people. To hold it over people's head, to guilt people. No, that's not freedom. That's slavery. But if we can look to the Eucharist and understand that this should effect a transformation in each and every single one of us, our lives will be changed the way the saints' lives are changed. And this is why I often say, you've heard me say it many times before, that we are called to live liturgically. This is one of the things I've loved here. I asked earlier, how have you changed during the quarantine? I would love for you to head over to my Instagram and tell me, how have you changed? What's been different? While you're there, I posted that prayer of abandonment, to conform to the will of Christ. How have you changed? Because this change will show so much about where we're going. This self-knowledge, as St. Faustina discussed, oh, joy that flows from the knowledge of oneself, knowledge in the light of Christ. When we pray for the repose of a person's soul, the prayer, the response that we often pray is, may the perpetual light shine upon him or her, whoever's died. And it's fascinating to me because as you become older in the church, it's like an instinct to respond to this prayer for the dead. May the perpetual light shine upon them. We need to choose to allow God's perpetual light of truth shine upon us now, to be conformed to the image and likeness of God. And I really do challenge you, go and pray that prayer of abandonment and spend time thinking through it. And remember, the next time your fingers are itching to pick up your phone, watch that next Hulu, Netflix, or Amazon Prime episode, or indulge in that drink, remember, you have a choice, and we're called to exercise our freedom, but freedom is for the good, not to just do whatever you want. And that is where we discover authentic joy. And when we look in at ourselves and look up at Christ and see his light upon our lives and directing us to where we ought to go.